Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Pastor Josh Shelton for this life-changing message.
Actually, I'm going to be speaking on love, and the reason is, if you actually were here when I spoke on Sunday, I spoke, on Ephesians, and I was doing in Central West End, a series of messages on Ephesians, and talking about how Washman Nee had a book, and he called it Sit, Walk, Stand, and it's on Ephesians. So I'm doing something similar to that, talking about how in Ephesians he tells us the first part of it is our sit, which is who we are in Christ and being placed in Christ Jesus, in God, and knowing who we are. And the second part of it being our walk in Christ. But we have to first know who we are in Christ. Then we can walk. And then after that, we can stand. And so actually on Sunday, I preached on walk in Central West End. And part of that, as I was preaching, I was just really burdened again. I've actually spoken some similar message to this before, but by the part of Ephesians where he's talking about our walk. And one of the things is our walk in love. And it's such a huge thing, and we sometimes think, oh yeah, it's great, you know, to be a loving people. We're supposed to love everybody. Yeah, that's great, but do we really walk in love? And from my message this past Sunday, actually, the things that Paul emphasizes in Ephesians is that we need to walk in unity, and that's basically in unity as Christians or the body of Christ. We need to walk in unity. That's not under pressure because we all have to be the same, but that's because of God's grace. We have to unify. We have to be in Christ, one, together, in unity. Our walk is a walk of unity together in Christ. We also have to walk in purity, is what he says. And that purity is our personal walk. We ourselves, we cannot be like we used to be before we were saved or before we knew Christ. We have to walk in purity. Thirdly is walk in love, and that extends beyond our church and beyond myself, those first two things, and it's our walk in love, and it's just everything else that people see around me and what I do outside of just coming to hear the word or being in the same church and needing to be unified with the people that I'm with or the church, you know, as a whole, or really all over the world, but who I am and what I do has to be a walk in love. And then lastly he says to walk carefully, or he says walk circumspectly. And so basically, I believe that's just talking about those first three things. Walk in unity, make sure that you're not getting out crazy all by yourself or you're not fighting amongst yourselves in the church and do all that stuff. And then walk in purity, make sure your life is right. Make sure you're doing things the way that God told you to do and that you're living a life of pure, not walking in sin like you did before you knew Christ, and then walking in love so that those around you can know Jesus. What do people see? Which is what I'm going to expand on, just walking in love, the love of God. It's such a huge part of being a Christian. It's a huge part of God, of Him, of who He is. And then lastly, again, walk carefully, being all those things. We need to walk in wisdom in those three ways. We need to make sure we're doing those things, and we need to make sure we're doing them right and doing them how God told us to do and thinking about what we do when we do it. Amen? Amen. So God is love. He is love. And look, the word love is, I think, over 500 times in the Bible, and really, actually, I have a Bible, I believe it's in my office, that somebody sent to the church that is called the Justice Bible, anyway. But it talks about how It takes all the verses in the Bible that have to do with compassion and reaching out and how we need to treat people around us or how we need to help, you know, the widow or the orphan or those that are down and out or all these things, taking those verses of how God is passionate about reaching people, and it highlights them in this Bible. And basically, it's like throughout the whole Bible, almost every page, you know, you see these verses that are highlighted, and it's the love of God, you know? I mean, I don't see another Bible that goes just on, you know, but just highlights the wisdom of God or, you know, the strength of God. But this is about the love of God, and there's a Bible that's wholly revolving around showing us the love of God and how he loves and has compassion for his people and wants to highlight all these verses. And so this is just a huge part of what the Bible is, of who God is. And we just need to get it. We need to know it. And we need to live it. Amen? In 1 John 4:7-11, it says, knowing God through love, this is the title, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he so loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I mean, that verse basically just sums it all up. I mean, God loved us so much, every one of us, no matter who we are or where we've been or where we're at this particular point, it doesn't matter. God sent his Son. He took who he was, a piece of who he was, and separated it from himself. And I can't even imagine the agony. I mean, I try to imagine like giving my son away so that somebody else could be saved. And I can't even fathom that. But I mean, I don't know. It just seems too hard to even think about. But God did that. He had that piece of him, his son, just ripped away from him. And he gave him away so that we could be saved. That's compassion. That's love. And we're supposed to follow him in those ways that of course, I don't want to and hope I never have to give my son for somebody else. But I need to, in my life, live in a way that I'm giving of myself, that my love compels me to reach outside of myself and to reach out to people and to think about others and not myself. Amen? Second John 1, verse 6 says, this is an Amplified, and what this love consists in is this, that we live and walk in accordance with and guided by his commandments, his orders, his ordinances, precepts, teachings. This is the commandment, as you have heard from the beginning, that you continue to walk in love, guided by it and following it. Guided by love and following it. His love can guide us. And so many times I think about, really, let me just talk about my own life. And I'm like, God, what do you want me to do? Or where do you want me to go next? And really, I see really all of the Bible, he's telling me, look, really, it's all about love. Your walk with me, you need to love me and you need to love people. You need to show love to all those around you, your family, to strangers, to coworkers, to whatever. You need to be showing love. And that love, like it says here, it will guide you, and you can just follow it. Follow the love of God. Of course, he's going to tell us sometimes, this is where you need to go specifically or whatever. But God's not like a taskmaster, or he's not going to, at least I believe, somebody can say different, but he's not going to tell me or lay something out for me and say, I want you to do this, 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 and this. and here's how you do it. Do it this way, this way, and this way. No, I believe he's told me, I want you to reach out. I want you to love people. I want you to just go out and show who I am to people around you and just show the love of God. Just show my love. And he wants us to just do it, you know? And so many times I feel like we're waiting for this. I'm talking about myself now. Like, I'm waiting for this, like, God, just tell me exactly what is to do. And he said, no, just go love on people, you know? And he'll tell you more as you go out, you know? He'll guide you even more and more maybe narrowly as you go. But you first got to step out. You got to first just go do it, you know? Just go hang out with somebody and buy them a coffee and talk with them and show them that God loves them and that it doesn't matter what happened yesterday or what's happened in your past. And, you know, it's amazing. I've seen so many times that people just want somebody to sit down and show them love. That so many times can change their life more than anything, more than me giving them everything that I can give them. I'm going to talk about that actually more, but so many times it's just showing love. They just want to have somebody next to them. Joe Aldrich, he's an author of a book called Lifestyle Evangelism. He said, Christians are to be good news before they share good news. Now, I've heard things, you know, on both sides of this equation where, no, you still got to share, you got to talk, you got to do all this stuff. But I completely understand that because you can't just go around acting like I don't have to talk at all or I don't have to say God, you know, or I don't have to pray for somebody. I can just be nice to them and show them love and they're going to just get it because that's not going to do it. But at the same time, I kind of get what he's saying, whereas, like, I can't go around just saying stuff and not showing it. Because then I'm a hypocrite, right? If I just say it and don't do it, it means nothing. It means nothing. And I think about, you know, we have small kids, and as we teach our kids, I can tell them and tell them and tell them, this is how you're supposed to live. This is what you're supposed to do. But if I don't live it, it doesn't matter. I have to live it. I have to be that thing, that picture of what I'm trying to tell them about. Because they're not going to live up to that picture that I'm telling them about. They're going to live up to that picture of who exactly I am. And that's going to shape them. Amen. In Matthew 25:34, you don't have us back there because I'm not actually going to read the scripture, but you guys all know this scripture, I believe, but this is just Chuck Swindoll wrote this in a book that he wrote, and he wrote it in a way that is very interesting, and it really gets me because this is, takes it to another level, okay? Let me just say it this way. And he wrote it this way. He says, I was hungry, and you formed a humanities club, and you discussed my hunger. I was imprisoned, and you crept off quietly to your chapel in the cellar to pray for my release. I was naked, and in your mind, you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick, and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless, and you preached to me of the spiritual shelter of the love of God. I was lonely and you left me alone to pray for me. You seem so holy, so close to God, but I'm still very hungry and lonely and cold. So where have your prayers gone? What have they done now? What does it profit a man to page through his book of prayers when the rest of the world is crying for help? I mean, it takes that scripture and to me, at least, just amplifies it 100-fold and just makes me think, oh my gosh, I mean, I can say whatever up here. And I can even go out there and say that I'm doing something. But if somebody asked me or somebody is reaching out to me or somebody is out there needing help, and I say, you know what, I'm going to pray for them when I get home, or I'm going to, you know, go tell somebody that, whatever, but I'm not actually going out there and reaching out and comforting them and showing them the love of God and helping them, it doesn't matter what else I'm doing. That person's still out there cold, hungry, and lonely. Amen? They just need love. They just need the love of God. So many times we say we're that. And really this whole message really is just to encourage. I know that you guys out there are this way, but just to encourage you that it's not about striving to be more knowledgeable about the Bible or memorizing scripture, all those things. Those things are good. It's not about, you know, how much I pray in the Spirit or how much I give, but all those things are good. It's about how much I love and how much I just embody who God is. That's it. That is what is going to count. Amen? Yes. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Before I go further in that, it's very interesting. I've read that in this time here that he's writing, he says, I'll be sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And apparently that in that day, the people that were worshiping false gods and the pagans and all, you know, these people, they had these big cymbals or whatever at the, you know, at the entryways to the temples that they had. And people would come in and they would like bang on this big, huge cymbal. It's a huge, loud noise, and it was to awaken the gods, you know, as they come in. And what he's saying here, he's like, see these people down the street, what they're doing. Their God isn't real. Their God isn't alive, but they're trying to wake them up as they come in to the temple. He's like, that's what it's like. If I don't show love, I can be speaking in tongues, but it just sounds like I'm beating a cymbal trying to wake up God if I'm not showing love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, verse 2, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Can you see there's an importance of love in our lives? God is love, and he's asking us, just embody it. Just show people my love. Just live it. Just live it. In verse 1, Paul says, it's more important. This love is more important than these spiritual gifts. This love is more important than speaking in tongues and words of knowledge and all these things. If I can do all those things and don't show love, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Paul is saying that even if he were so blessed that he could speak with the greatest eloquence that anybody's ever known, so he could speak in any language. Look, on the day of Pentecost, that's what they did. Look, that was so close to them at that point, whereas he's writing this letter, that there was speaking in tongues and people heard it in other languages. There was people from all around. They had come and gathered together in the city, and they're there in the upper room, and all of a sudden they're speaking in tongues, and people around them, I hear him in my language. This is, I mean, I'm just trying to lay down some foundation here. This is big. Speaking in tongues and that communication with God and how the Holy Spirit helps us to communicate when we can't, that's huge. That's huge. We need that. We have to do that. We have to do it a lot. But if I'm not showing love, it really just doesn't mean anything. If I'm not living in love and showing that, it just, I don't know. I guess as I study this, I find those things hard to believe. It's like, really, you're telling me, like, I can be spending so much time praying and spending time with God, just speaking the Spirit and reading His Word and receiving words of knowledge and prophecy, like He's saying here. I can be doing this. But if I'm a... figure out the right way to say it. If I'm just an ornery old, like I don't really care about anybody else, and I'm just holier than thou, and God and me, we've got this thing, and you know what? Just stay back, because you might not be able to handle the holiness that's right and around me. You know, I'm here with God, you know, and it's just so good, and I just don't really have time for you right now. I'm doing nothing but spending time with God, but He's saying, doesn't really mean anything. I don't know about you, but it just gets me. Like, again, it's stuff that we need to be doing, but He's just saying, add those things to your love. Don't do those things instead of, or don't say, oh, I don't really have to love people because I'm doing these things. Saying, add these things to your love. In verse 2, Paul says that love is more important than knowledge. Like I said, if I have the gift of prophecy, know the mysteries of the world, but don't have love, I can know it all. I could know everything. God could be speaking to me and telling me everything, be so knowledgeable of what's going on in the earth or people's lives. Doesn't matter if I'm not showing them love. Thirdly, in verse 2, still in verse 2, it says, love is more important than faith. What? Seriously. He doesn't say that faith isn't important. Again, I'm going to say that every time I talk about these things. It's not that it's not important. You have to have faith. You have to be stepping out in faith. You have to be walking in faith. But I could be stepping out in faith all just every single day of my life and going from thing to thing that I'm stepping out in faith, and me and God are doing this thing, and He's leading me, and I didn't even... God told me to step out, and I stepped out, and even though I didn't know that I could do it, and I didn't think I was strong enough, and I did it. But when I did that, I actually ignored that guy on the street that was just needing somebody to talk to, and my wife over here, she was getting, you know, really annoying because she was trying to drag me away from God. So I just kind of told her to be quiet and, you know, you guys just need to just back up because I'm spending time with God, you know, and all that doesn't matter. All this great stuff that I'm doing with God because I'm not showing love to those people around me. You guys know the story of the Good Samaritan. It was a priest and Levites, these people that knew God, right? People that understood the things of God. But you know what? They were too busy, or they had somewhere to be, or maybe they just didn't want to be seen with the person that was laying on the ground beat up. But the guy that comes by, the Samaritan, not knowing God, he's the one that the story's about. Look at this guy that stepped out in love and took this person off the side of the street. This super knowledgeable guy about the Bible and all these other guys over here that just walked right past him. Nothing. These are the guys you don't want to be. You want to be the guy that's showing the love. Not the guy that walked by and maybe said a little prayer under his voice as you walked by. Or maybe told him, hey, you ought to memorize these scriptures because these will help you get out of that situation, you know. You want to be the guy that actually picked him up out of the gutter. In Galatians 5:6, it just says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love. Just again, we have to have faith. We have to move forward in faith. But let's do that through love, like on top of love. Let's take this love that God has given to us as he's given his only begotten son for us, and let's build everything that we do on that and share his love and spread that love that he gave us to other people. And as I do that, I can be praying, speaking in tongues, I can have words of knowledge, I can do all these things, but on top of that love. Fourthly, this is in verse 3. It says, love is more important than generosity. Paul says, if I give all I possess to the poor but have not love, I gain nothing. Generosity does not equal love. Sometimes we kind of think that, right? I mean, I'm gonna give a little bit here, give a little bit there, or you know, this person needs help, and oh, look, I showed them love. No, you kind of just showed them you had some extra money to give. Showed them, hey, I got more than you do, and I can spare a little bit, so here you go. You know, that's not showing love. That may help them out a little bit, but generosity doesn't equal love. Lastly, in verse 3, it says that love is more important than accomplishments. It says, if I surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. If I surrender, like, he's even going really far with this, right? He's not even saying, like, I'm going to volunteer to be an usher. He's saying, like, I'm going to go and find a fire that people are just burning people to stake. I'm going to run to it. I'm going to jump in it. But if I haven't loved people all the way down there, it does not mean anything. I can be a martyr and die today. But if I haven't loved, it's for nothing. Even if I go to church, every time the doors are open, come Sunday, Tuesday, I go to Bible study, I go to prayer meeting, prayer group, or, you know, all these different things. I'm taking and setting aside those things. I'm doing these things. I'm setting aside the things I want, and I'm going to church, right? So that makes a difference. I'm spending that time where God wants me to be. And he's saying, no, really, it doesn't matter if you do that or if you die a martyr or whatever. It doesn't matter if you're not showing love. Again, it would be good to die a martyr. I don't want anybody here to do that. But whatever I do, it has to be built. The foundation is, look, God is love. And look, Jesus is our cornerstone, right? It needs to be built on love, our life and our walk with him. Like I said, I was speaking about on Sunday at Central West End, our walk has to be built on love and showing love to every single person around us, just loving on people. Love is more important than spiritual gifts, knowledge, faith, generosity. and all things that I might accomplish in the kingdom. That's a sum up of what he's saying. And as I say that, I'm like, that's pretty substantial, right? Showing love is more important than all those things. Not that I don't do them. Not that I don't walk in faith, generosity. I don't give to people. Not that I don't spend time with God. But I better show and be living the love of God as I walk out in all those things. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me?
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.